Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to this edition of Let's Talk. I'm your host, Alicia Hill. Today we'll welcome back author Justin Onoye here to talk about his book, Prepare Yourself Against the Coming Apocalypse. Welcome back to the show, Justin.
Thank you very much, Alicia. How are you doing today?
I am doing fine. How about you?
I am doing just good. And
excellent,
thanks for asking.
Yes, it was an awesome testimony you was giving through your, talking about your book. And so many people had so many questions because now they are really paying attention. So we had some people in the chat room who really want to hear you speak more of this great coming of apocalypse. They want your opinion to talk about. We're going to go over your story again, what it is, and I'm going to ask you some of the questions that the audience who didn't get a chance to ask last week. Because one guy said, Jonathan said that you seem to be so informative about what is going on. You seem to be a man, a true man of God. And could you please have us speak more of it? Yeah, so they are really demanding some information about, you know, in a positive way, to hear what's going on in the world. Okay, let's go back over your book again for the new audience who's listening in now. What it is, again, when you say prepare yourself against the coming apocalypse, because a lot of people may not know and understand what that is. Go ahead and explain to your audience listening now exactly what you mean by having themselves prepared for the apocalypse.
Right. Thanks very much again, Alicia, for inviting me back to your show. To throw more light on the issue about prepare yourself against the coming apocalypse book, it's a book that the Lord, you know, asked me to write at this time. Looking at it from this angle, we see that the coming of the Lord is at hand, and He is actually sounding this warning to everyone, because last time you asked me, this is a warning, and I think I did not, you know, give you a direct answer to that question. Yes, it is a warning. It's a book of warning that the Lord is, you know, fast approaching. His coming is just at hand. And looking at it from this angle again, you realize that the church is not truly prepared for the coming of God. The church is outside the, you know, the endorsed path that God has created for us to follow. And this makes it...
Hello?
Don't let us say anything before God. Don't present
God does not want his children to, you know, be left behind in this time that he is approaching. So we want to all sit up and do things right. The prepare yourself mm-hmm. against the coming apocalypse. We want us to recognize where we have fallen short and then pick up from there again and start all over again. And we look at it this way again, the curses of the spiritual bastards and the 400 years generational curses of those born bastards. These are things that are not talked about. These are, you know, the secrets in this book, when you, if anybody would read through it, that person will realize that, no, I have actually been misled so many ways, because if I had perished in this ignorance, where would I have been? And that was the question I asked myself earlier when I started writing this book, you know, that God, thanks for revealing these things to me, because I do go to church. I sit under the influence of somebody's voice teaching and preaching, but most of the things and many of the things in this book have not been taught in the church. It's like they skip things. They don't want to show all the truth to people. And that is the problem we are facing today. Christians must get up and prepare themselves truly as children of God and do what is right and what is expected of them. Keep the commands of God, obey his laws, his precept, and do it right and not what people say must be done. I think that's the little light I will throw into this. Alicia, thank you very much.
Okay. I have a question from Cheyenne. She wants to know, according to what you see in our world today, do you see any scripture that has come to pass, what has been played out in our world today? What do you see? What scripture do you see that have come to pass based on how we live in today, or in our society today, rather?
Alicia, many of the things happening today had all been fulfilled. They are all written in the scriptures. They've all been documented. And I can just point to a specific one that this, everything that has been written is what we see today, because looking at it again like this is that God said, in the end, there shall be this, there shall be that. Many will fall away from the faith. Many will be denied. Many will deny the faith. Many will walk, go their own different ways. Before then, there will be increase in knowledge, and we see all of these things happening today. We see wars. There will be wars, earthquakes. We see all these things fulfilling. We see fishes dying in the seas, you know, washed to the shores. These are the things that, you know, we should look up to and see that truly in the last days. And this is the time we are. Last time I was looking, I was, you know, flipping through, and I came across a news, and lo and behold, it was scaring. Over 1 million fish was washed offshore. And this is scriptural. This is in the Bible, that in the last day, these things will happen. And these are the things we see today. So it is time we actually use our tongue to count the number of teeth in our mouth and, you know, sit up and do what is right, because nobody knows the hour. Even Jesus doesn't know. We don't know exact time. Apart from knowing the exact time, I don't know what is going to happen to me if I step off my door now outside. Anything can happen. So am I prepared that if anything happens to me right now, I would be able to stand before God and say, yes, truly, Father, I made it to you. Because Jesus pointed out that on that day, many shall come to me and say unto me, I cast out demons in your name. I did that in your name. I prophesied in your name. I did all kinds of things in your name. But he's going to tell them, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. But the question is this: why would Jesus, the one we all rely on, the one we think is the Prince of Peace, say that to us, that call upon his name? You know, these are the questions believers should be asking themselves. Am I doing it right? Even though he said many will call me Lord, Lord. No, he said not all who call me Lord, Lord shall see the kingdom of heaven. And this is genuine, this is true, and this is what I see today, that not everybody who call Lord, Lord. And people are being deceived, at least people are being deceived by, you know, maybe they could cast out demons, they can prophesy, they can, you know, do all kinds of wonderful things in the name of God. It's a deception. We need to examine ourselves on a regular basis. Are we doing it right? Are we doing it right? This should be the question in capital letters. Am I doing it right? Because I don't want to be ashamed on that day that Jesus will tell me, I know you not, depart from me, you lawless people, you You sinners, you full of iniquity, I don't want to see you. These are questions we should always ask ourselves. I think this should be a very important question every Christian should ask themselves. And also, Alicia, let's also not forget that he told us that if we truly want to make it to heaven, if truly, this is another thing, if we truly want to make it to heaven, we, our righteousness must exceed that of the teachers of the law. And who are the teachers of the law? We know who they are. Until our righteousness exceeds theirs, we cannot make it to heaven. It's a prophecy by Jesus. It's a spoken word. So Christians, if I'm not studying my Bible, I'm always depending on somebody to feed me on what I should carry on as my spiritual, you know, ammo. I don't think I am doing myself any good service. I don't think I am doing well to myself, because Jesus, who we are, you know, praying to meet in the cloud one day, has told us, these are the things I want you to do. Study the scriptures for yourself, and you will see things fulfilling, and you will be happy to fulfill the laws of God. But it's the opposite today. So with all these things happening around us today, look at the crime rate, look at the, you know, a child could take a gun and pick up a gun and kill the parent, you know, children doing all kinds of things, go to school and shoot everybody down. We see all of these things fulfilling, you know, the scriptures, and we see even in the government system, we see what is happening today. There is no peace, there is no, God is not involved in every affair that is going on now, whatever men are doing. He's no longer there, because he's pushed out of the equation. He's no longer in the equation again. So all these things are just warnings to us that the end is coming, and we must be prepared for this coming. And I think this is just what I want to say regarding the question you just asked me, Alicia.
Okay, and Tony wants to ask, with all of this going on today in our society and in the church in particular, how do you know if you're sitting upon a true man or a woman of God versus sitting upon someone who is practicing what he said, doctrine of evil, using the word of God? He wants to know the difference between a fake person using the word of God, pretending to be a servant of God, versus the true man of a woman of God.
All right. Thank you very much again. You see, that's a very beautiful question you've asked me now. And look, it is easy to identify. I have been to churches. I've been to church. I've attended so many kinds of churches, so many denominations, and I was just trying to find out something. And there are times I go to church, when I started writing this book 2 years back, and when the Lord started opening my eyes to understand certain truths about the church today. Sometimes I go to church, I come back, I feel so bad. You know why I feel bad? I feel bad because I feel that these people aren't teaching what is right. They're skipping the truth. You know, I get angry, I get irritated. I say, I wish I have the opportunity to pick the mic and speak to the people, because they have been deceived. Alicia, it is easy to know how, you know, whether a church is of the Spirit of God or not. And how you would know this is, number one, you would know your scriptures first of all, because Jesus said if we make mistakes because we don't study the scriptures, and many have been deceived because they don't know the scriptures. Because if I know what is written in the scripture about a topic a pastor is preaching or a minister is preaching on, I know it very well. I've been taught by the Holy Spirit. When he or she is teaching that sermon, I already know what I know what is expected next. I know what she should say the next, because the Spirit of God is one. But if she's saying, or he is saying, the opposite of what the Spirit of God has taught me and what my eyes have been enlightened to know, that's falsehood. And we look at it from this angle. If we say, for instance, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ and the laws of God, if these things are not being taught by these ministers, it means that they are not teaching us the right thing. They are deceiving us, you know, giving us false hopes, giving us false, you know,
first believes that things are all right with us. See, when God is ready to shoot at somebody, nobody stands and says to that person, the other person, the one whom God is punishing or whom God is afflicting, oh, it's going to be all right. It is well with you. You are not the God who had afflicted that person. God is afflicted that person to either bring that person back to his or her senses to know who is afflicting him. But they will tell you it is well. They encourage sins. They teach things that are not in the scripture, things that are not gospel. I have a CD on my link now, my website, The Gospel Today. That CD really exposes what it is, what the scripture means, what the gospel today, the form it is taking, not the form of the people of the past, not the form of the apostles. The gospel today does not rebuke sin. The gospel today don't want to talk about sin. They just, everybody is okay. Everybody is, provided you mention the name God, you are good to go. Provided you come to church, you are good to go. But the sin that should be pointed out are not pointed out. Let me read something quickly here for you, if you would give me the time, please.
Yes, yes.
Just a minute. Let me look at it.
I have one more question for Melissa. Melissa had one question for you. Once you finish,
all right.
I have one more for you.
No problem. I just want to get a scripture. Lamentation, when you look at the book of Lamentation 2,
mm-hmm.
I'm just getting in there, 2 verse 14 to 15. Give me a second.
Okay. All right, so don't go in the chat room. He's going to Lamentation chapter 2. He's going to be reading 14 through 15. I'll let the guests know in the chat room. Where you going? Okay,
yes.
Yes,
just give me a second.
Okay.
So whilst I get my Bible and try to get it, you know, settled, I will be speaking as well. I don't want to put the people in suspense. All right. So, Marcella, Alicia, when we look at it from that perspective, the ministers, are they teaching what the scripture says? Are they teaching the laws of God? Are they teaching the will of God? And when we talk about what the will of God is, it's something that is missing in the church today. Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Now, as it is done in heaven, what is the will of God then? What is then done in heaven? This is a question we should also pose and ask ourselves. What is the will of God done in heaven should be done here on earth? In heaven, there is no sin. In heaven, there is no evil. In heaven, there is no sort of adultery. There is no fornication. There is no bribery. There is no such thing. There is nothing of those stuff. And this is how Jesus taught us to pray, that it comes into us. We are the earth, and the word of God, the will of God must be established within us. But that is not what we see today. These are not the things they teach. They teach how you can be successful. They teach how you can make it, how you can get out of loans, how you can get out of debt. You know, these are the things they go on teaching us and making us believe that these are the gospels. It's only a blind believer that will go by those things and applaud them of their wrong teachings, because it is obvious that the will of God must be done, and his righteousness must be executed. Right, I'm there now. I'm reading.
Okay.
Lamentation 2, and then from 14, he said, thy prophets or thy pastors have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thy iniquity, to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment.
Mm-hmm.
All that pass by clap their hands at thee, the ease, and wag their head, and the daughters of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Now, this scripture, if you read other translations, it will tell you, it will say this, that they have taught you, they have given you false hope. They have told you lies upon lies. They are not pointing out your sins to you. And this is, like I said, this is what is missing in the church. We know the will of God is that we don't sin. Like I said last week to you, the will of God or the laws of God shows us, teaches us what we must do. And the laws of God are the truth. So if the laws of God are not being emphasized on in the church, then the church is lost. The church is missing. And we all claim we are the sons and the daughters of Abraham. But how do we, Jesus even said, if truly you are the children of Abraham, if truly you are the descendant of Abraham, do what Abraham did. Abraham sought the face of God in righteousness. Abraham never sinned against God. Abraham was called by God. This is my friend. How many Christians are called by God today? This is my friend. Alicia, the presence of God is missing in the church today because everybody is out for money. Everybody is out for riches. Everybody is just looking for ways to
I noticed that too. I said it's just, but I do, I'm grateful that he do show up for the ones who are genuine there. You are absolutely right. And you hit that nail right on the head when you brought us to that scripture because, like you said, they see vain things in the neck instead of telling people about what, you know, like a child doing something wrong, you want to tell them to get them on the right track. But instead of that, they pacifying a lot of things. Like you said, all for the profit. You know, you're absolutely right. And people are getting away with so much. And now I see a lot of people may say, well, why should I be believing you're not doing what you need to do? And a lot of our leaders in the body of Christ is really falling. They are really, really falling. And it's sad to say, because I once thought it too. I thought for one second, why am I, if I'm the only one trying to live right, why should I keep living right? Everybody else doing this and that. You know, we get like that. You understand? I mean, you're absolutely right. You hit that. I'm a post to as well on my personal page and another group that I be in because that's something we need to reflect back on. Let me get to Melissa right there because time is kind of winding down. Melissa wants to know, how can one get ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's a very, you know, deep and big questions you've asked. I mean, question you've asked me now. The only thing I can tell you is this. Getting prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ is to read this book that the Lord has written, has used me to write. Because I can't tell everything that is there. There are a lot of secrets that when we begin to read it, our eyes will be open. And, you know, this book is going to take sleep from most people because they will be wondering, so what have I been doing all this time? What is the meaning of church? What actually is the meaning of church? So what have I been, I've been wasting all of my time. And the fortunate thing here is that the reader of this book is going to be thankful to God that, you know, I thank God I have not died in my iniquity. I thank God I have not perished yet. I thank God because if I had died, God is not, he is not going to excuse you because you are ignorant of the truth. He expects all of us to know the truth. He expects us to study for ourselves. So the only way is this. Go get your copy of this book. Read it. Take your time. Devote time. I mean, those people who have copies of this book, I always tell them it's not about television. It is because that is not important. This is a message from God to the church. And it, when I was writing this book, he actually told me, not everybody is going to like this book, but just write it. Those who would have it, would have it. Those who would not, let them be. Just write it and send it out there. Let as many as will read, read. Have time. My advice is have time for this book. It is not about putting it aside and let it dust, because what is there is one salvation. It's one salvation. We don't want to play with our souls. Many Christians are playing with their souls today. And Alicia, see, the best way to get prepared, apart from this book, is doing what the Lord says must be done. I told someone the last interview I had 2 days back, I said, take a pen, write the names, I mean the laws of God, and ask yourself this question: am I keeping this? Is it bad if I kept this? Jesus said, I did not come. He said, don't get me wrong. I have not come to change the laws or the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. And Paul continued to emphasize faith. Faith and law, faith and law, faith and law go hand in hand. If we don't know, if we don't have faith, we can't fulfill the law. And if we don't appreciate or, you know, fall in love with the laws of God, we cannot make it in life. It's not going to go well with us. For instance, the government of the United States makes laws. Everybody wants to this, you know, to uphold these laws. People cheer these laws up. But when it comes to the laws of God, we don't want to do it. And this drove Jesus to say this: you do what men say must be done, but the commandments of God, you've thrown it aside. Every word of God must be kept, because he said it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every, Alicia, every means every. If it is come, it means every. There, you know, but the problem is that we have chosen the ones we want to keep. We have chosen the ones we want to uphold, because if we uphold all of them, we feel like we are not belonging to the society. So we just want to mingle in, we want to blend in the society. No, if we really want to serve God, people will despise us. We will face persecution. Are Christians facing persecutions today? These are how one should know that I am truly serving God, because you'll be hated by people around you. You'll be despised. Nobody will want to talk to you because you are serving God. You're not doing what they are doing. Your life is different from their life, and they will gossip about you. They will talk ill of you, but just keep on keeping on there, because Jesus went through the same thing, and we all must go through it. For the same cross he carried, we must carry ours. So get a copy of this book. It's not a child's play. I encourage people not to gamble with their souls. Everything one needs to know to make it to heaven is documented in this book. If it is not, call me and I will refund your money to you, because what God has shown me in this book, what is in this book, it's not a child's play. So that is what I will say regarding that now.
All right. Thank you so much. You have said a lot. And also, now we have 2 more minutes. I do want to go back to 2 Peter 21. And God do have a lesson or a punishment for the false teacher as well. As he said in 2 Peter 2:21, how a dog, when he is, he vomit. And then once he get back up, he go back and return to his vomit. That is exactly what some of these false teachers and preachers are doing today, for their own self-pleasure. They left the world of sin to start out preaching God's word, and then they're going back to the world of sin and casting off God's word. Like he said in verse 21, it's better for them not to have never known the way of God and go that way than to turn around and then do it otherwise. They shall have their punishment too. Thank you so much, Justin, for being a coming on the show. We appreciate that. We need more prophets like you. I'm calling you a prophet. You are speaking that word. So what do a prophet do? We have been warned.
Alicia, I would want to say something real quickly before you, even if it's just 2 minutes, please.
Okay, quick.
Right. Now, one of the issues here is this. From just an example to illustrate this, that the truth is not preached in the church, because these are the things we see today. Look what Jesus Christ said here in Luke 16:18. It's a saying. He said, for example, a man who divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery. Jesus is speaking to us, our Lord and Savior. And anyone who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. This is Jesus talking. And this is what Paul said here. Paul added to it in the book of 1 Corinthians 7:10-11. He said, but for those who are married, I have a commandment that come not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband, but if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And the husband must not leave her wife. And this is just something as an example I want to show you, because when you look in the church today, we have lots of men, even ministers who have divorced their wives. This is the words of Jesus to us. Don't marry again. Don't remarry. If you divorce, and Paul emphasized it, but in the church, there is normal. Oh, this is my second wife. This is my third husband. This is my this. The pastors are doing all these things. These are things that Christians don't want to understand. They don't want to see the light in the truth of God. They are going blind because the pastors are doing it, so they encourage them to do it. We have people in the church with tattoos all over themselves, and they say this is Christianity. What differentiates us from the world? What differentiates us from the ungodly? Ungodly are doing this. We are doing it. The ungodly is divorcing. We are divorcing. Why should we do so? We divorce not just with divorce and stay single, that we divorce and get married to another person, leaving our old spouse that we've consummated this relationship with, to whom many believers are living in adulterous marriage. And we know that Jesus said no adulterous person will enter the kingdom of heaven. And these people are thinking they are going to heaven because they give offertory. And no pastor rebukes these things. It is a shame on Christianity, because that is why the world laughs at us. Because the things they do, we equally do it. So what are you talking about? Alicia, I'm sorry for taking a little bit of your time. Thank you very much.
No, it's okay. Let me make sure. All righty, it's okay because... It give us a few time. It's, we went off air now, so this may not be recorded, but we off air. But I want to say it gives us a few minutes to talk after the time allowed us. But let me ask you. It slipped my mind because you had a good. I had a question. Yes. I was just wondering. If you don't mind, what you're a teacher? Are you? What are you in the body of Christ?
Alicia, see, God, I've not gone to any Bible school. I've not, I'm not a pastor. I'm not any of those. It is just God who had arrested me and decided to train me and, bring me up in his own way. Paul never went to school, Bible school. Yeah, so actually he taught me himself what I should say and what I should speak.
Yes, but this is what I want to say. Because of your knowledge, and it is true that so many people, they are actually leaving mainstream, and then sometimes they build their own, because people like you, just because you don't have a title through a seminary school, God called you where he called. Jesus didn't go through seminary school. John the Baptist didn't go through a seminary school. So because of your calling on your life, because you see what a lot of people call themselves being called and what's going on with those ones. But what I had wanted to say is, based on your knowledge and your information, do you have a YouTube channel?
Well, I'm working on that now. That should be ready by next week. Because I want to start posting a few things there. Yeah.
Exactly. Like I want to say, because that's a great platform to start teaching the true word of God. Because people can hear your passion. And like I see, all these people want to talk about the things. Because a lot of people want somebody for real. They see
that
too much is going on. And they see people see your passion. They see your passion. And to build that platform, that'd be great. That'd be great. You look around, and get the publicity you need, because it will grow. It will grow, because a lot of people need to waken up. Awakening. And that'd be a great, and I hope you can do a little show if I can follow you as well. Awakening is time for, like you said, prepare yourself before we got to wake up to see what's going on around us. Because, and like you said, and then our people, people in general. I stay in particular areas, so I deal with certain types of people. It is basically mostly African American, and like you said, I was never upset like I was the other day when I was youth. It upset me so bad I cried, because I can't believe some of them are actually fighting against the ones who are trying to help them. And see, you fighting for them. You're trying to wake them up for a reason, people in general. If they keep fighting, like, God going to take his hands away. And he is taking his hands away. Like, you think he's gone. It's not like he used to be in the church. It's not. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't feel it no more. I don't feel his presence. You know, and here I see, maybe I used to get offended while folk looking at me because my sister was telling me. And, I, you know, I had to be validated because you got a, she said, you got a glow on you. It's a light. Lord got something on you that they see that they don't have. I said, well, thank you, Lord. That maybe they'll go run back. And so you don't try to see it by spirit. And that's why I said, with you, you got that calling. And just like me, you're going to have folks watching you. And sometimes it would be strange because you're like, I don't stare, just listen. But they see that. They see that. And like I said, people in the chat room, and I can hear your passion. And that would be
that's
a great platform. And so I got to get ready to check out this time. But I hope this, I noticed that you had went out. I was doing your conversation. But hopefully it's better now because it's a new channel. And then, I mean, we have a new number, and then we have a new server. But I'm constantly working on to make my platform better and better. So I am in the background trying to do that. Sometimes I can't hear what happened with the server itself because we actually, this is our internet radio show. You know. And when I come across some information, I will be sure to pass it on to you to help you get, because this is another platform as well. They have new social station coming up. So let me run out and get my son. So I would say sometime, even this weekend, I will send you some more information to help you look into. I tried to send you something yesterday, but it was too large. A lot of distribution places that you can send your book. I'm going to have to cut it down and probably send you like 4 or 5 different pages. For some more publicity. It's probably over 100. I just like I said, too. It's just too big. It's in as an attachment. But I think don't. And rest assured, as even as time go by, I still have all my guests listed. When I come across something, 4 or 5 months later, you probably see me sending you something that I believe that's informative. Even if you
that's
know,
right.
Like, who is this? Oh yeah, I was on that show. I won't forget you. I promise that. But like I said, this week. I will send you some more attachment with some more information. And like
information
I said, I'm networking with other radio hosts. And I will try to, it's up to them to pick out their guests. So but like I said, with my other radio co-hosts all over in Atlanta. So I will make sure I just, you know, keep the word spread. Because you have a powerful message. I would say you're a prophet. Because you're sending a message on what God sent prophet. So if God comes to you, he'll validate it. He'll send somebody else to tell you the same thing. So you know when God's talking to you. Again, just so thank you so much. Let me head out here and get my baby. I enjoyed you so much. Again, look for my information.
I will do
thank
that.
You.
I really appreciate you hosting me once again. Thank you very much, and God be with you, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.